See this guy with the pillows on Fox?
My pillow guy, Mike Lindell. He is the greatest. The My Pillow guy. Mike Lindell. And he's been with us right from the beginning.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Lindell Report. We're going to have a great show tonight. We have Rick Weibel coming on, doing all the stuff he's been doing. He's been the lead in Minnesota and South Dakota, and he has probably forgotten more about elections than most people ever know. He's been at the tip of the spear up here for a long, long time, and we got him coming on a little bit. But before I want to give you a quick update, I do have I'm back in Minnesota. I have fires going on, so to speak, that I have to get to immediately. But I wanted to get on here and give you guys a couple updates. Yesterday, I was in Green Bay with our real president and Donald Trump, and we. I did a speech there. I think you can see that here on Frank's speech. I think it's posted. Why don't you check on that if you can? I believe it's here. You guys got to check that out. It was. And then I did a report on RSBN, everybody, which you're going to want to see. I went through the whole Supreme Court thing. You guys can watch it here on Frank's speech. I went through the Supreme Court case that we have and started from way back in the beginning in the spring of 2022. Well, there's news on that. I got a call from Kurt Olson this morning, and they filed another 39 pages. And I don't know what you'd call it. You can check it out at lindellplan.com. By the way, everybody, donate. We need your help for this. What it was, I believe the defendants have not responded to the emergency injunction or the emergency to expedite this. And they just basically haven't responded. So I guess this is a response to that. So it's kind of, I think it's kind of like if you're in a case and you're upsetting the judges because you're being unresponsive. This is even before they either accept or don't accept the case. But one of the things they haven't responded to is the evidence in this case. Remember, the judges in we'll show that in a minute with the April 17th thing. But the judges back in Arizona, they ruled that kicked it out on standing, and they also sanctioned the lawyers. So this is very serious. This add-on that was added on last night. So you can check that out, lindellplan.com. By the way, what we just had up there at lindellplan.com, everybody, you're going to see what event we're having on this event here on April 17th at 8:30 to 9 p.m. Now, there's going to be a time, I guess they put this up there, there's going to be a time where there's a round table there. It's not posted yet, but this is going to be hosted by Steve Bannon. We're going to have Kurt Olson, all the experts there in this roundtable. It's going to be an hour long, almost like a press conference. There's going to be a lot of media there. We're hoping all the bad media shows up. We know Fox won't be there and Newsmax won't be there, but we're expecting ABC, I believe CNN. Last year or the year before, I know the New York Times was there, so hopefully we get a lot of media coverage because we need everybody talking about this Supreme Court case. Now, on the other end, the other news I got for you is in Wisconsin is the Robin Voss. Remember, he's right up there with Brad Rassenberg, the biggest blockers this country's ever had. He's done more damage to Wisconsin and our country than probably anybody other than Crooked Brad when you're talking about supposed Republicans. So the great people of Wisconsin are recalling Robin Voss. Remember, we got 10,000, I believe 800 signatures we're gotten for the recall. And you needed, I believe, 6,700, somewhere in that range. Well, old Robin came in and they've tried to discredit all these 4,000 some signatures. Well, you know, I guess we kind of expected that of the people there did. So they had a backup plan, and that's to do another recall. You can go to RacineRecall.org. That's RacineRecall.org, everybody. Go there and check it out. There it is, the recall, Racine Recall Committee. This is it, everyone. This is the one that's going to get rid of old Robin Voss. Wisconsin, we need to win Wisconsin. We need to have secure elections in Wisconsin. Okay? We need our great real president back in office. This country, we need to save our country. And it starts right there with recalling old crooked Robin Voss. We have those two things going on. And then I want to bring in Rick Weibel. Is Rick there?
Not yet, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, why don't you check and see if he's got the right Skype thing, or if we have to, do we have to reach out to him, see if he's got the right link? Then while we're waiting for Rick, everybody, I'm going to tell you about the specials we're having at MyPillow. You guys, we're having $25. Go ahead and put up the promo code L77. We're having the $25 extravaganza, everybody. We've got all of these pillows, these roll and go anywhere pillows. The American flag. We've got the Statue of Liberty. You got the Frank speech from me holding the American flag. You got the Mount Rushmore. You got With God All Things Are Possible. But what these are, these, I use them everywhere. I use them for in hotels. They put them on top of the hotel pillow. Lumbar support, sitting, if you're in a spot where you're sitting a lot, because they're compact. They roll right up into their pillowcase here. That's where they call them roll and goes. They roll into their own case. They're very compact like that, okay? You pop them open, you're ready to go. The MyPillow's patented fill inside. You know, it's just a mini MyPillow. And you get two of them for $25, everybody, $25. Maybe you can click over to the website if you can follow there. Go to MyPillow.com. Scroll down if you can. Scroll down. Yep, there we go. So slow down a little bit here. We got the bed sheets. The best bed sheet sale ever. $25, as low as $25. You're never going to see a price like this. The MyPillow premiums. These are the pillows. I don't have any here. The MyPillow premiums. So this is the one that made us famous. 80 some million sold. We added Giza cotton to the outside, to the ticking. And it doesn't matter if you get kings, queens, any loft level, $25. The four-pack dish towel sets, $25. If you go down a little bit, the sandals and slides as low as $25. This is the lowest price in history. The MyPillow mattress toppers, we got a big special on that, 50% off, $99.99. There's the two-pack of the multi-use pillows, $25. You guys, this is the sale of the century. If you go down a little more, remember, we don't have any betweens. You're supporting my great employees. We've been attacked. We attacked every day. There's the MyPillow 2.0, by the way. The lowest price we've ever had, the MyPillow 2.0. Buy one, get one free. The bolster pillows and the pillowcase for the bolster pillows, you know, that extra neck support, $25. And also, you guys can click over to my store. You don't have to do it now, Paul, but if you go there, and you can also use the promo code there, L77, 800-544-8939. Operators are right downstairs in this building and across the country working from home. Go down a little bit more. I'm just seeing a lot of these squares myself. We have throw blankets. $25. Some of the best blankets you're ever going to see. We developed all these and designed them. Okay. The bathrobes on sale. Then you have the MyPillow mattresses. This is our biggest mattress sale ever. People forget we have the best mattresses ever made. Ever. There's none better. I took every single part of a mattress and why would this help me? How would this help me? Not to make it beautiful. I just want it to help me sleep and help you sleep. That's the MyPillow mattress. So there you have it. If you go down, why don't you scroll, keep on scrolling down and see if there's something down below. Keep going past these guys here. Okay, there we go. We got more of the couch and recliner pillows. I want to quick tell you about them. The couch and recliner pillows, I don't like going on couches. You got these decorative pillows and Well, you just take your arm and throw them off the couch, right? If you're going to lay down, and you go run to the bedroom to grab a pillow if you actually want to lay on one. These couch and recliner pillows are both decorative, and they got the MyPillow patented fill if you happen to want to lay down. $25. These are all the biggest sale we've ever had. There's our six-piece towel sets, $25. We have a limited supply of those, so get them before they're gone. The beach towels all came in, $25. The dog beds, $25. You got pet blankets for your pet, $25. So you guys, this is the biggest sale we've ever had. Down comforters on sale. Go one more thing down here. If there's what else we got? There's the My Coffee, you guys. Get the My Coffee. It's the best coffee you will ever drink in your life. I guarantee that. There's nothing better, ever. So there you have it. Promo code L77 at MyPillow.com or call 800-544-8939. Do we have Rick yet?
We're getting him in now.
Okay, and by the way, everybody, if you haven't been to MyPillow.com, you get a free gift there when you get there, if it's your first order, even if you want to just check it out and put in your email, and I'll tell you what the gift is. You're going to get sent my audiobook, and that's the What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. So, and you can get that. Just for checking out the website, if you've never checked it out. But we get attacked every day, and I'm able to do stuff because of all you guys out there that are buying and supporting MyPillow. I'm able to go out and do that. That was one of the first rallies I did in Green Bay, and that I did. I haven't done a rally in about 8 months because I've been so busy with helping MyPillow stay afloat, secure, and then also with our plan we came up in August to secure our elections. And Rick's been a big part of that, what he's doing here in Minnesota and South Dakota. Everybody knows we've had this big battle in South Dakota where you would think you go into Republican states, it'd be so easy to get cast vote records, or in South Dakota, you can get 5% on a petition in a county and just vote out the machines. You'd think it'd be so easy. But these uniparty Republicans seem to be everywhere. So as soon as Rick gets on here, he's got so much information for you all that you're not going to want to miss this tonight. And I see we have a scrolling on the bottom there while we're waiting for Rick. The LindellRecoveryNetwork.org is free, everybody. And you know what? I need help there too. Go there and donate too. You could donate there. These are things I've supported and I have built. I was an ex-crack addict, you know, by reading my book. Go to LindellRecovery.org. You go there for two reasons. One, tell everyone you know that's got a hint of addiction to go there. It's free help. And the other one is, I was the only one that I built that. It was millions of dollars to build that platform. I can sure use help over there to keep that going. So you can go over there and donate. We just finally, I guess just a month ago, got that donation button set up over there where these are different things. I thought, you know, before all this election stuff, I thought I'd be just going around and doing speeches everywhere on addiction and get the way out of addiction is through our great Lord Jesus Christ. But I was doing speeches at churches and everywhere. And then along came the stolen election of 2020 and all the computers used in our elections that we need to melt down into prison bars so it's been quite a journey over the last 3 years, but I didn't want that to get lost in the wind. Right now you take away our open borders and fentanyl pouring in, combined with people feeling hopeless, it's deadly. So if you have someone that's in addiction, you felt that, you know, they're just incorrigible, they're never going to change. Well, with God, all things are possible. Go to LindellRecoveryNetwork.org. Do we have Rick yet?
One or two more minutes. He's trying to figure out a camera issue.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep selling. Put up the, why don't you put the plan up, the LindellPlan.com. Put that up there so they can donate to that. Okay, you guys, the Lindell plan here, you guys, if we go down, you guys, we need your help on this. Why don't you scroll down? This is everything. Your money will never be spent in a better place. This is helping secure our election. The encryption key, look at that. This is our Supreme Court case. Decryption keys were inside the voting machines. That's like having a bank vault, and on the vault says, here's the combination. Or I got my ATM card. Here's my passcode. Here's my password. This is disgusting. I mean, this is stuff. This doesn't count all the other evidence we have. This is just in the machine. You know, it's like, here's the key. We have to pray the Supreme Court takes this case in, because they'll vote 9-0. 9-0. We've got to do something and save our country. Our election platforms are some of the worst in the world. There probably isn't any worse anywhere. You have all these countries now that have banned early voting and banned machines. The last one being Argentina, just this last fall, had the first free and fair election with paper ballots hand counted. You could go down the list. Country after country has banned early voting. And I talked about that last night, too. Anybody that tells you, yeah, let's vote early. Remember, the RNC voted 168 to nothing for a resolution for paper ballots hand counted, same day voting, precinct level, voter ID and signature required. This is what the RNC. So if you have Republicans in your state of the GOP going, get out there and be like Democrats and go vote early, that early voting, they are lying. They're lying. They're telling you wrong. You don't vote early. You need to vote same day. It's harder for them to steal. I know this. And I'm sure Rick will tell you the same thing when he gets on here. I am telling you right now. And then all them RNC people that voted last summer, 168-0, you just question them and say, well, didn't you guys just say you want same day voting? That's the best practices. You know, just because they bring in a China virus and they say, okay, everybody, we're going to all vote months early. You cannot fall into that trap, everybody. Now, that ballot chasing is a little different. Sure, go out there and encourage people to vote. Encourage people to vote that hadn't voted before. Get people to solicit your neighborhood, solicit everybody you know. But tell them to vote on game day, that day, election day. And if you can't be there, if it's impossible, of course, then vote early if you have to. But otherwise, you vote same day. And I'll be preaching that all the way up to the election of 2024. Is Rick there yet? There he is. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Great. Yourself, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I gave you a great intro, too.
I actually heard it, so luckily I had another browser open.
Okay,
so
awesome.
Thank
awesome.
You very much.
I got to get going. I've got fires going. I thank you so much for coming on the show. I've seen so many of your stuff going on right now. I don't even know where to start. Maybe you've been involved in both Minnesota and South Dakota for a long time.
And I
want to ask you something before I get off, though. Does it surprise you? I know you know, in Minnesota here, of course, we're so controlled by the Democrats and with the corruption and stuff. But does it surprise, that probably doesn't surprise you getting blocked by a Democrat. Does it surprise you how much we've had to put up with our own party or the Republican Party? Does that surprise you?
It actually does. And so I'm kind of one of the rare individuals that is operating in both a Democrat state and a Republican state. And what's funny is that the problems that I run into literally rhyme between both of the states. And so the whole thing is just absolutely rotten and corrupt. And it's so disappointing. And There are times that I have left the legislature or a meeting with other legislators, county commissioners, et cetera. And my heart literally breaks. Like, did I really just witness that? I grew up in Minnesota where we were taught that there was good government. There was even Time magazine articles from the 60s and 70s about how well lauded Minnesota was run. And then the same thing when you have Governor Kristi Noem advertising, this is a great place to move to after we moved. So we moved here to vote for her as part of the governor's race because we moved to South Dakota in 2018. And my wife really wanted to get out of politics and have me kind of be done with it. Well, then COVID hits, and then I'm back into politics, and then I start seeing the corruption. I get callbacks from Minnesota friends going, hey, can you look at this? I help Minnesota Voter Alliance, a great organization in Minnesota. I end up getting calls from friends, also attorneys. Hey, can you look at this little piece of software? I look at it, I'm like, holy cow, this is pretty ridiculous. Then I get another call after the Minnesota election. Then I start looking at South Dakota's election. We start doing canvassing operations in Minnesota and South Dakota. And then I find they're literally, the Minnesota and South Dakota is literally the test ground for both parties to basically create the corruption to launch onto the rest of the states in the United States. So it's like there's 108 right. ways that they cheat in Minnesota, but don't worry, there's 112 ways that they cheat in South Dakota. And yeah. one of and I've enjoyed this entire process because each time I find a golden little nugget, I kind of think right. creatively, how can I outfox this so I can have legal standing to go fight this corruption? I'll give you an right. example of one. You'll love this in South Dakota. At one address, there are 14,000 registered voters.
Right. Hmm.
Seems a little yeah. odd. They're mail forwarding companies, legal in Minnesota, Florida, and Texas, right? One of them's called right. RV Escapees, and you can look at their website, and they will move your voter registration and all of your assets literally with the touch of a keyboard between the three states. No problem. Great customer yeah. service. So one yeah. of them went out of business in 2018 in Madison, South Dakota, 1,600 registered voters there. They went out of business July 2018. But in South Dakota in 2018, over 50 of them voted. There, even though they're not authorized to vote there anymore. Then in 2020, right. Another 20 or so voted from there. Then in 2022, a couple more voted from there. So I right. noticed that they didn't re-register during your presentation down in Missouri. And sorry, mm-hmm. I got a little bored in one of the sessions. So I logged into the Secretary of State's website and saw that the name was available. So for $10, I registered it. Now I officially own 1,600 registered voters and have legal standing as a business owner. And now that I'm running for Senate in the district, I have political standing that I can sue them for two ways to remove those voters.
Wow. It is so bizarre. I'm going to, I'm going to have you on many times here. I'll tell you, you have such a wealth of information. You guys, if you're hearing this, I'll give you a couple examples that I know that you brought to me at different times or I've heard. So, when we were going to, way back, this was early, I think in 21, probably, you know, I'm running around with Kristi Noem and the governor, and she says, actually, it was 20 and 21. And she says, you know, we're talking about South Dakota being the first state to go machine free, right? She actually picked a location for the cyber symposium and said, hey, you could do it in Sioux Falls. What a beautiful place. And of course, then she didn't want anything to do with it, but that's fine. You know, people were getting, machine companies were out suing people. I understand that. But then you get down to it when we actually had something everybody called the cast vote records. You all know what I'm talking about. We've talked about a million times where they come out and it either shows computer manipulation or it doesn't. Well, in my experience, the biggest problems we've had getting them has been in the red states, except for I heard in Minnesota, didn't they say something like, Rick, and we don't know what they are, but if we ever find out, you don't get to have them. Am I right about that?
Yeah, exactly. And Steve Simon, the Secretary of State there, called me crazy. The media smears me for 3 years in Minnesota, and they deny that these cast vote records exist. And I'm like, are you sure about that? Because right. if you're truly saying that, then that's a conspiracy to commit election fraud, because under U.S. Code 52-20701, that's an election material. So right. you're sure about that? And especially when you're right. an attorney, Steve Simon, I am calling you out, and I would like to do an audit on all of the primaries in 2022 in Minnesota to validate whether or not those cast vote records are there or not. And if they're not there, I think we're going to have a little accountability with the federal government with you guys. And South right. Dakota, you're not off the hook either.
Yeah. Now in South Dakota, what did they do there with the cast vote records? How many did we get in South Dakota?
Well, officially we got none, but then a few good auditors kind of leaked us that they actually do exist, but they're encrypted, right, so they right. have no way but to then, access
and this is
them.
Red, and this is all red. So it's like you got Minnesota and then you got South Dakota. And, you know, this is what we're up against. With the, like I say, when we started the show here, the biggest surprise to me were these. Everyone's called them rhinos. No, it's worse than rhinos, everybody. They're in on this thing. They have to be. There's no other reason. You have people like Crooked Brad Raffensperger, the leader down there in Georgia, Secretary of State of Georgia. You have Robin Voss, the Speaker of the House of Wisconsin, who did an own audit on Wisconsin and then said, nope, I'm not going to stop the audit. Stop the audit. We can't. Look what we found. Be careful what you find, Robin. He didn't think the guy would do his job and find everything, and he did. Then you go right. into South Dakota. Everyone remembers it's just a year and 3 months ago, everybody, when South Dakota, the GOP was going to take away the precinct committee men and women right to vote. I mean, who brings this up? You because they didn't like how they voted the previous summer. It's disgusting. Right. And now we do it. We go into South Dakota and we got and they find this new that you guys have all seen Jessica on the show, this new thing in South Dakota where going county by county, which is the plan we have in the country, everybody, going county by county, getting rid of the machines, going to paper ballots at the county level. South Dakota has a great law. They can 5% of the people sign up in a county, the registered voter, and you can vote the things out. So we go all the way into it and get all these counties ready. And then, Rick, that's what you're going to talk about tonight, right, what they did?
Absolutely. So Nicole, one of the leaders that starts out in Lawrence County, immediately the lawyers in the state want to stop this because of a little thing that they're hanging their hat on regarding the express vote systems, which South Dakota uses as part of a disability device. And they're trying to hang their hat on that to say, well, you can't actually get rid of that component of the voting system because it's somehow required. But actually, it's not, because the way that HAVA works is that when you use a voting system, then you have to have the disability device. But when you don't use the voting system and you're hand counting, then you just have to make sure that you have people available that a voter can select with disabilities to say, I want them to help me. But there's also right. the mail-in yeah. options and stuff like that. And so I understand right. where the discontent there. And I will tell this little asterisk. I'm okay with the express vote systems there for hand counting to help people with disabilities. However, I'm extremely disappointed that in every area that we spoke about the express vote systems, the auditors failed to bring them to the nursing homes to actually bring those to the highest percentage of people who would have disabilities to be able to participate in the election. So I really find them disingenuous when they fight us on this side, but they weren't honest in actually bringing them to people in need, like my mother-in-law who has early dementia, Alzheimer's, and right. is starting to have some vision problems. So, I mean, that's pretty disgusting that they're kind of trying to play games on both sides.
They're using it. They're using it as an excuse. They're using it as an excuse, and they do this all across the country, everybody. This is the big game they play. In Shasta County in California, the story there is it goes, they get rid of it. And in California, everybody, they had a great law there. In California, it was beautiful. You go in and you have a guy right there and you just sign. It's kind of like a notary public. Here, this is fine if this guy sees my vote. You know, ooh, boy, right. that's terrible. You know, right. well, this is how we used to do it. If you don't want right. to bring someone with you, you trust this guy to see. He sees enough votes. Who cares? And right. and besides that, think of people that have multiple handicaps. You know, you're right. not going to cover everyone. Oh, here's a machine. Okay, I can't see. Maybe I can't hear. Who knows? When all the disabilities are, I have no arms, whatever it is, what you need, there's times where I don't care what the machine is, you're going to need another person to go yep. through and, to, you know, okay, press this here. Well, I'm sorry. It's going to come down to who do you want to vote for? And right. that they had a great system. Now, they tried to pull the plug on that in California, everybody, and say, we can't be without machines because we got to have them for the handicap. Well, you know right. what? That's fine. That's fine. Then just use them for the handicap. In the worst case scenario, fine. Keep that one machine that nobody uses because they very seldom use it. They use exactly it right. for an excuse. They use it for an excuse after excuse. And these are Republicans in South Dakota. I just got a call. I'm going to have to finish this fire. Rick, I thank you for taking over the show here. And yeah, lay it on these people. You say whatever you want on my show. You can say, melt down the machines, turn them into prison bars. You can. We'd be disappointed if you didn't badmouth some of the Republicans. We don't care who they are, because they've got a different agenda, these uniparty Republicans. And that's you know, it's disgusting. They do more damage than all the Democrats put together. I really believe that. Because if they weren't blocking us, we'd be able to get stuff pushed through that make common sense. And then you'd have examples to the country of, hey, this is how it should be. This is a beautiful thing here. And it really hurts. And I thank the Lord that people like you have never given up. You've been a hero. And, you know, someday there'll be a place. Where's that Mount Rushmore pillow here? They should have a, I got it here somewhere. But anyway, they should. Here it is. They should have a Mount Rushmore of heroes, and you'd be on it, Rick, because you're not giving up and staying courageous. And but thank you, and you guys will. We're in good hands with Rick, and he's going to show you just how bad our own party or the Republican Party can be. Well, and any politicians, we're not just pick on the uniparty Republican. There's uniparty Democrats, too, that aren't about the people. And when I talk about it, that's why people are pouring into this bucket here called the common sense bucket, and they're pouring in from both sides. I mean, we have a lot of Democrats, too, that are uniparty. I call them uniparty. You know, they're your Jenna Griswolds of Colorado. These people like this, they're just out to destroy our country. They're not out to anything for the people. I don't care what politics are of Democrats and Republicans, conservatives or liberals. These people have a different agenda, and it's hidden agendas. Some of them are right there. But if they don't help people in either party, you got to wonder. Right, Rick?
So, right, exactly.
But thank you. Thanks, Rick. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, Mike. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And it's an honor to be with all of the viewers here tonight. And those of you that have been praying for me, praying for Jessica and all the other great activists across the country, trust me, we are united in saying thank you for those prayers. We feel it. We need it. We need your protection. And as we learn more about the elections, I'm extremely disappointed in the lack of leadership of both parties, and especially the elected officials that have refused to look at the things, and especially the committees within each of the state legislatures. There are some basic things that you need to be aware of. And so I'm sounding the alarm. Ever since Gore v. Bush, where we had the hanging chads, Congress immediately acted in 2002 to adopt the HAVA Act, the Help America Vote Act. And as part of that, they were tasked to basically create a bipartisan commission to actually manage our elections and define a voting system guideline for the states to basically follow. And then they were also supposed to dole out money that was assigned from Congress to basically help states conduct their federal elections, also manage their voter registration systems. So when we look at that voluntary voting system guidelines, we see right away in 2005, after they adopt it, many of the state legislatures adopt those, and they adopt it in statutes in a couple of different ways. One, they default to say every machine must be certified by the United States Election Assistance Commission through their certified test labs and will rely on the EAC certificate, or the second way, like Minnesota does. So South Dakota does the first way. Minnesota does a second way, which is they adopt the voluntary voting system guidelines, but they don't use the EAC certificate. They use the test labs to do the primary test, and then the Secretary of State then goes through and reviews it. So like South Dakota, they have a state board of election, even under option one, that reviews the systems and then approves it. The difference between Minnesota and South Dakota is South Dakota has one vendor, ES&S. Now in Minnesota, they have three vendors. They have HART, Dominion, and ES&S. And so I've been able to review those three systems. And so I'm one of those rare individuals that in essence covers about 70-80% of the equipment out in the United States, understanding how the testing, how the certification works, and have even worked with great teams across both Minnesota and South Dakota, and now including other states, to help them assess the systems that they're utilizing. And so where does it begin? The first step that you want to look at is actually your state statutes. You want to understand who has the responsibility to review the systems. There are some states that take a third option, which is they ignore the EAC and they have their own standard that they basically adopt, and they have a list of requirements within statute that the machine has to be able to do or it's prohibited from doing. So some states prohibit the use of modems. Some states require the disability devices. And some states go so far as to give you at the county level the option to adopt a machine for use, a voting system for use in your county, to use them partially in your county, or to use hand counting explicitly within your county. Some states drop it down to the municipal level, which would be your city, your township, or unincorporated area. And so you'll have to look at the statutes to understand that. The next part is, if you have voting systems that are allowed, you have to determine, did they remove the rights? There are some states where they have literally said, we're only using voting systems and you can't do a hand count at all. You're going to have to petition your government and hopefully make that change. Now we get into a simple state like South Dakota, where we rely on the EAC directly for their certificate. You can find a lot of this information available at www.eac.gov. And I'm going to take you through a quick tour here, because the public information is what's actually stunning and disappointing at the same time. So in South Dakota, the latest machine that we have certified for use in our state is 6.1.1.0. Okay. I'm going to try and share my screen here. So let's look at this together. What's stunning is the simple stuff. We look at the certificate here, and when we review it, we can actually see this is from the United States Election Assistance Commission. This was tested by a lab called ProVNV, and we see that it was issued July 27th, 2020. Okay? With me so far? Now, what I want you to look at is actually the bottom line of the certificate itself. This is pure gold. Now, imagine a different government agency having this line at the very bottom of it. And that agency I want you to imagine is, you know, the FDA. So it literally says, this certificate is not an endorsement of the product by any agency of the U.S. government, and no warranty of the product is either express or implied. Wait a minute. So if they're telling us that they are looking to test this to the conformance of the voluntary voting system guidelines, then what teeth does this thing really have? Good answer. Good question. So it literally tells you in the certificate, maybe you shouldn't use this at all. The other stunning thing that is amazing about these certificates is the lie that we've been told that Mike Lindell and I talked about earlier about the cast vote records. Well, in that same certificate, literally on page 3, it talks about the DS-200. It literally states it on the certificate itself, that it is literally a polling place, paper-based voting system, which means that the voter fills out the ovals on the ballot itself, and then either the voter inserts it into the tabulator directly, like in Minnesota, or they put it into a ballot box, then they ruin all the chain of custody procedures, put it in at risk, bring that ballot box to the county seat, and then at the county seat, they insert all of the ballots in from the precincts. That's the way South Dakota does it. Then continuing on, specifically a digital scanner and tabulator that simultaneously scans the front and back of a paper ballot and or vote summary card. Okay, the vote summary card, quick break there. That actually comes from the express vote systems, the disability devices. So they'll have a different method of voting, and it prints it out into a barcode card with the names of the candidates below it in most states. And any of the four directions, which means you can insert that thing any way you want, it'll read it. It'll figure out. So it's pretty significant programming that it's able to understand humans and how sloppy we are, and we can just feed it in there. A voter selection marks into electronic cast vote records. So it says it right there that cast vote records exist. It was stunning in South Dakota when we were asking the previous Secretary of State, Steve Barnett, about cast vote records and asking auditors about the cast vote records, and they denied that they even existed. So with South Dakota using this certificate, it was evident that the auditors were not properly trained about the cast vote records and their existence. They also weren't trained that this is actually election material, that this actually must be maintained whenever there is a federal election. That's the part that was extremely disappointing to understand. And so here's the law in regards to the federal requirement. This is found at U.S. Code 52-20701. It literally says that every officer of an election shall retain and preserve for a period of 22 months from the date of any general, special, or primary election of which candidates at the federal level, that would be president, that would be Congress, that would be a senator. And so the very default is we have elections every 2 years because all of us basically vote for a House of Representative candidate in the United States. And in that skipping further down, we see that it is required that these folks have to maintain all records. And so here it talks about all records and papers which come into his position, possession relating to any application, registration, payment of poll tax, or other act requisite to voting in such election, except that when required by law, such records and papers be delivered to another officer who then is now accountable to this. So since it says all records, and the literal name that we saw over here on the tabulator side is cast vote record, that's inclusive, not exclusive. And so that's where we are going to have to basically do an audit of the 2022 election on the cast vote records. And if you were not delivered them, you may have to file a lawsuit to hold them accountable to this law at the federal level to determine whether or not they actually did their job properly. And well, that's disappointing for a lot of people, but we're going to have to go there. The other thing that is stunning is that when we go to the actual certificate, again, by the EAC, one of the things that they do is they do updates to that certificate anytime that there is an engineering change order. So you're like, what's an engineering change order? Let's walk through some of this. So anytime that there is a change to the voting system, and you'll find this on the last page of all the certificates at the EAC. So if you're running Dominion, you're running Hart, or you're running any other system, go to that last page and let's see what changes have been approved by the EAC to help keep your system up to date. There's another little thing that you're going to like about this, and you'll understand where I'm going with this. All right. So even though the changes are so small here on this DS-200, when we see that they're adding a tote bag, literally for the voting system, and the EAC has to approve it, that tells us that this is something pretty significant. They're not fooling around. Not only did they do it once for our system in South Dakota, they did it twice because apparently there were a couple changes within 3 months. The other thing that's really surprising too is that we actually look at the Express Vote device system and we see that they actually had a problem with it, that maybe it wasn't standing correctly or it was collapsing, that they actually had to add a brace to the real struts. So yes, the EAC had to approve that. Notice they also approve upgrades to thumb drives, compact flash cards in here. But what's missing here is actually pretty important. Yep. Let's go back and review another thing here. So if we wanted to keep scrolling down past this, we see the layout, then we start going to the actual nuts and bolts of what's inside the system itself. There is actually the commonly off-the-shelf software that's there. So this is where we see the Windows operating system. This is where we see the patch, the last patch that this thing has actually had on it. And this is for the laptops that are out there. And then we also see something in here called Symantec Endpoint Protection. These little files here actually give us a clue as to the last date that it was updated. So that means the laptops that run the ElectionWare reporting software have not been updated since March 29th, 2019. How do we know that? Because we know for simple things like thumb drives and bags, they needed to get approval from the EAC. And the fact that we don't see an engineering change order here that the EAC is approved for any antivirus or Windows updates, that's a call to action. You should actually now go ahead and start asking your county auditor and your Secretary of State's and State Board of Elections to ask if they've requested any change orders. In some of those states, there will be a requirement that any change has to be approved by potentially your Secretary of State or State Board of Elections. So you can actually go through the meeting minutes and find out if they've done any of that. In South Dakota, we've reviewed that. We see no change orders being approved since 2018 in the state of South Dakota. And what's even more disappointing is this version that we're talking about in South Dakota. That's the latest one that was approved. ESNS has released three other new versions that our state hasn't even looked at. And so our poor auditors are stuck at this version because the Secretary of State has not approved, and the State Board of Elections have not approved a newer voting system like 6.2, 6.3, or 6.4. So we're always kind of chasing this and we're behind the eight ball. We've proven that we can't keep up with the security and the technology out there. That is pretty disgusting. And so we ask sometimes, well, does it really matter? Well, yes, it does. So let me take you to another piece that's really interesting. So in South Dakota, we can actually look at the State Board of Elections when they were approving the previous version of 6.4.0. At the same time, this is why we are suspicious about modems being in our DS200s, because at the same time that the State Board of Elections was approving the certificate, ESNS sent this little brochure, Ballot Marking Devices and Tabulators, and in that brochure, we see a DS200 that is certified. And if you scroll down to the second page, down here, it's indicating that there's an optional wireless modem results transfer with encryption, that it is somehow EAC certified. We know that the EAC got a complaint in early January of 2020, and they had to update their marketing materials. But what's significant about that is from that time until 2020, there is a potential of states potentially getting DS200s with modems in them without their knowledge. We're aware of one successful case in the District of Columbia that was handled where they discovered the modems and they had to be remediated. Unfortunately, the other states during this time period, we're not sure where their status is. We hear from ESNS that these other states like ours in South Dakota weren't delivered those, but we don't know. And that's the question. We don't know what we don't know. And that's really the piece here. And I don't know if I can trust them because I don't see the engineering change orders out there. If there's some other process that's supposed to be happening, please make us aware in the public. This has to change in the United States immediately. So viewers, you need to ask yourself some of these key pieces. Is what your vendor telling you the truth? Are your systems secure? Is your state actually looking at the newer systems and bringing them in to keep your auditors protected on the later systems? Are the vendors actually providing updates to the security? Is there even antivirus on the Linux systems that are there? We certainly don't see it listed. There is a Norton antivirus available for our version of tabulators, and we see no indication that the tabulators or the ExpressVote systems, if they're running Linux, have an antivirus on them. So that is very concerning. And the least piece is that we have no public assurance through engineering change orders that updates are actually happening on the tabulators themselves. And so is the EAC failing us? Is the vendor failing us? Are the auditors asking for change orders? Are the Secretary of State's asking for change orders? Are the State Board of Elections asking for this? To bring you all up to speed, I have filed three complaints with my State Board of Elections. I'm waiting to hear when the date would be set. And the first one is a complaint about the laptop to ensure that its antivirus is updated along with the operating system. We have four counties in South Dakota out of 66 that have the laptop. So only four counties have access to decrypt the cast vote records and actually review them. So only four counties can actually tell you whether or not the elections are secure. The other 62 counties have no idea. They can't even see or verify if the cast vote records are actually there and in whole, and they have no way to actually compare with the test deck, for example, running it through and then validating that the test deck is accurate and actually comparing the actual ballots with the cast vote records to make sure that everything is copacetic and to also make sure that the randomization process is actually happening and that the time date stamps are correct so that way we can't identify voters in the order that they come in to actually vote on election day or through absentee processes. And so there are several concerns about this out there that we do have to have remedied. So there's a kind of a fun little chart that I have, and I see the guys are kind of going in and out of the control room. But one of the things I do want to share with you is kind of the why it matters. And there's actually a chart that I had sent them regarding how far out of date these systems are for antivirus. And since I have it on my side over here, I will see if I can just share it with you guys. And so kind of a quick and ugly here for you. So in my state, looking at that 6.1.0 system, we see here that for that laptop, this is the section of malware and potentially unwanted applications that laptop is completely unaware of. And so these auditors, especially using the laptops, there's an option to basically upload. Let me back up. So the laptops are used at counties where they'll take multiple thumb drives, they'll load it into the laptop, and it creates the election night reporting. They have the ability to create this XML file that then they take another thumb drive, take that XML file, bring it over to another internet-connected PC, and then they upload that to their Secretary of State's website so that you can have kind of the every 15-minute update or 30-minute update for election results from that county. So the problem is that once they take that thumb drive, they need to now quarantine that and not bring it back into the closed-loop system. As soon as they bring that thumb drive that is on an internet-connected machine and plug it back into the laptop, they have exposed that laptop to potentially now 5 years of unknown Trojan horses, malware, and viruses that antivirus cannot catch. But that's okay if there's no antivirus on the tabulators because they're Linux or on the express vote machines, they would be unaware of everything else on this chart. Now, granted, this is for a Windows malware. The Linux security concerns are less, but there's still enough out there significantly that we have to be concerned about. And so this is really instructive for all of us to look at that to go, are we really safe and secure? So based upon the documentation at the EAC, I don't believe we are. And so that's where we have to call all of this into question. Some of the breaking news that we have in South Dakota regarding McPherson County, a couple months ago, they voted to actually do a 100% post-election audit. Today, Gregory County voted also for a 100% post-election audit. Up in McPherson County, what happened up there is that they had a petition that they brought forward that kind of, unfortunately, yesterday was defeated because of fear of lawsuits regarding the disability devices. I get it. And so the activists up there will probably try again to have it a little bit thinner to basically get rid of the tabulator and go to hand counting. So stay tuned for that one. The other debilitating piece that was happening up there in McPherson because of the overreaction is that they were trying to put in an ordinance that basically stated that if the county were to be sued, that the petitioners would have to cover all the legal costs. The good news there is that Colmer Heads prevailed, and that was removed from the second reading. And so that one is now over. So now the petitioners have at least upgraded from the post-election audits of a 5% minimum with two race minimum to do a 100% post-election audit up there in McPherson County. So congratulations. Secondly, today, I was down there in Gregory County in southern central South Dakota, and there was a special meeting there, discussions of 30 minutes for proponents and opponents of the original measure to go to hand counting. But instead, after the conversation, and petitioners had submitted a petition to go to hand counting to have that decision brought on to the voters. We're not sure when that date is going to be put on the ballot, if it's going to be part of the primary in June, or if it's going to be a special election. Stay tuned. But today, the county commissioners passed a resolution, acted on a motion to basically state that they want to go to a 100% post-election audit as well. So this is great news. So this is another alternative that states should be looking at is, should we start taking baby steps to start requesting our county auditors and county commissioners go to a 100% post-election audit to ensure the integrity of the vote? Now, some people will say, well, then that's going to give evidence that the machines are working great and then they won't want to do it again. No, that's not the way to look at it. So the way to look at it is the reverse. So it's not our responsibility to prove that there are problems with the machine. It's their responsibility to prove that the machines are accurate and actually working properly. That is a fact. Now, the other piece of this that goes hand in hand is that I believe that you should continue to do 100% post-election audits because we want to remove any of the myths surrounding the election equipment. The other thing that needs to be on the front end, though, is we have to have pure, honest, robust logic and accuracy tests. Simple terms, what does that mean? Each candidate on the test ballots needs to have a unique number of votes selected for them that's not repeated anywhere else on the ballot. My wife, when she ran for county commissioner, her and another candidate on the same ballot had 21 votes. We wouldn't know if they were reversed. The evidence that I have out in Minnehaha County regarding the 2022 election, it's actually stunning. When you look at the express vote systems, over 60% of the candidates didn't even have a vote selected for them. That's a complete violation of state law. I brought that to the State Board of Elections. They basically stated that they had no enforcement ability, they couldn't do anything, and they weren't going to refer it to any lawyers for remediation. Then we get to the second piece here, where 20% of the original ballots, they don't have enough, the votes are repeated, and so candidates are not individually selected. So I hear the music. I think my time is up. Please visit us over at uscase.org for hand count demonstrations, the gold standard on elections. Also, you can see some great stuff that I've done over at SD Canvassing. Thank you to Jessica Paloma for actually doing better documentation than I have than at my own website at Midwest Swamp Watch. Thank you, Lindell and team. Thank you, the folks in the back room. Please show yourself so that they actually can see that there's a couple of great patriots behind the scenes that help make this happen. We need help in donations to file legal cases. We also need help to be able to expand our reach out there. So any way that you feel comfortable, please donate and support our efforts. And feel free to reach out if you need help in your state. Jessica and I are willing to mentor any state on some of the great successes that we've had here, and also especially some of the information that we have. And you attorneys, if you need an affidavit regarding some of the election equipment, I'm here for you. So for everybody, stay awesome. God bless you. And remember, James 1:25, those who protect the perfect law of liberty, who look into it and protect it, they'll be blessed.